Our hearts have been made to rejoice in the Lord. As Brother Smith have led us in these hymns and spiritual songs, and we're certainly singing here tonight with melody in our hearts to the Lord. I always feel that I'm obligated first to our Creator, our God, for His goodness. To our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for His great love wherewith He have loved us. I read in the book of John that He said to His disciples one time, "Greater love hath no man than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you." I know many times we used to sing the song about "I'll be a friend to Jesus." And certainly we can if we will do whatever He commands us to do. This meeting is on its way to history real fast. After tonight, we'll have one more night. And I hope and trust that there will be other precious souls, as did those on last evening, have the courage to come forward and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the greatest name that mortal tongue will ever utter, and then complete their obedience and put them on in water baptism for the remission of their sins. I recognize that when people become to be Christians, the devil get busy and he want to start meddling with you to see whether you really meant it or not, and use other aggravating strategies. But I read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 3, where the Bible says it's an honorable thing for a man to cease from strife, and every fool will be meddling. So when you become to be a Christian, and to the young saint, if somebody come up and want to start meddling, realize first of all that you're dealing with the fool. Now, if I call someone a fool, they don't have to be. I try to refrain from calling anybody a fool. If somebody call me a fool, I don't have to be one. But when God say you're a fool, brother, you're a fool. And when somebody starts meddling with you, that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with fool. And so we hope that you who have confessed Christ and have been baptized into His body, been redeemed by His blood, will live faithful until you're called from labor to reward. Thank Brother and Sister Cruz for asking us in their home this afternoon, and we went there and enjoyed another fine meal. And I've certainly enjoyed myself here. Matter of fact, I think I've overdone it a little bit since I've been here. And I only do it, well, I can tell when I leave my diet too long, I go to increase in those little pains here and yawn. My son was over today for a while and enjoyed him. And I tell you, he's a real talking machine. I remember one time I went by and seen him and visited with him a while when he was living in Memphis, Tennessee. I'd been down below there in a meeting. And I went by and spent the night with him, and he talked almost a day. And he wrote my younger son and said, "You know, Daddy came by here and talked to me almost all night long." Anyway, we enjoyed him. Always good to see him. Hadn't seen him in about 4 years, and it certainly was enjoyable. We're going now to the business end of things. Handling stolen goods. I have talked on this subject several times, and I know that I don't have the ability to properly treat this subject, because a thief is something that is aggravating. A thief is worse. A thief is a threat to our welfare. The reason why that most of our homes now of you who are out here the reason why the doors are locked and the windows are shut and locked down is because of the fear of a thief. That was a time when I was a child and we lived out there in the rural. We didn't fear thieves. I don't ever remember anything being stolen from our home. The old house that we lived in, and a lot of the rest of them were just like it. You didn't have nothing but a latch to the door, and everybody knew how to run their finger through there and unlatch it. You could go in there anytime you got ready, isn't that right? You've seen some of those homes. Oh, we had a few people in the community that were superstitious and had locks hanging on the door. Wasn't really necessary. But since thieves have increased so, we all have to lock up now. And I can remember a couple of years ago in San Antonio, Texas, thievery became so bad until they had to reinforce the law, rewrite the law. And not only get out to the thief, but to get out to them also that was handling stolen goods. So then, when one was caught handling the stolen goods, they would deal with him just like they deal with the thief. Because if the thief, if he doesn't have anywhere to sell his merchandise, it'll slow him down. It may not stop him, but I'll guarantee you to slow him down. And I know that Jesus said in John 10 that the thief come but to rob and to kill, and I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. My friend, when we think of a thief from a literal standpoint, we have a big problem. But when we think of a thief from a religious standpoint, we have a greater problem, because our soul is at stake. And I want you to understand tonight, my friend, that my struggle and that my aim is trying to make it to heaven just like everyone else that is out here tonight. And I may say something in the course of this lesson that may not suit you, but I want you to examine it real good before you turn me off, because I intend to back up the thing that I say with and by the word of God, so that you understand that it's not a prejudiced thing in my heart, but rather trying to warn you before it's everlastingly too late. I read there in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I think the verse was 21, when Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven." So I know thee that if somebody steal that from you, you'll be in trouble. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and verse 29, Jeremiah was talking about, what is the wheat to the chaff, said the Lord. And then he goes on down to say, "Is not my word like a hammer, like a fire rather, like a hammer that breaketh rocks in pieces? Therefore, I am against the prophet, said the Lord, that steal my word, everyone from his neighbor. I'm against the prophet, says the Lord, that use his tongue and say. You see, my friend, those prophets back there would use that tongue and say God had told them to do something and impose it upon the people when God hadn't said anything. And what they were doing, then they were stealing from God's people. And it's the same thing right today. I want you to see over here in this little block on this side of the cross, we have the old Jewish church. And you know, in that Jewish church, as we tried to point out on last evening to some extent, it wasn't but one nation that was in that church. And you know what thing? When the Bible tells us over in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 11, that when Christ came here, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God. And when we look over in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, we find that Stephen was talking over there concerning the church that was in the wilderness. He was talking about those Israelite people who God with his mighty hand led out of the land of Egypt. These thou called were the people of God. And I want you to know that it wasn't but one nation that was in that church. And that was about 15 B.C. when the law was given there from Sinai. in accordance with Exodus, the 20th chapter. But you know, during that period of time, there rose up some great men that began to prophesy. And they prophesied about the establishment of a church or an ecclesia. You see, the word church just simply means ecclesia. And therefore, then they prophesied about a church or a called-out nation that would belong to Christ. And you know the good part about this, it was not locked in with one nation, but it locked in with all nations. Oh, Isaiah began to talk about it in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah, and starting with verse 1, he said, "This is what the son of Amos saw concerning Judea and Jerusalem, that yet should come to pass that the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and exalted above the hill, and all nations shall flow into it, and many people shall come and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he shall teach us all his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion went forth the law, and the words of the Lord from Jerusalem." Some years later, an old prophet by the name of David, the man that said one time in the 23rd Psalm that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, this man prophesied in Psalms 127 and verse 1 and said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And then years later, we find an old prophet by the name of Zechariah saying, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, I will return to Jerusalem for mercy, for my house shall be built in it." So the house of the Lord was to be built in Jerusalem. Then we find that Jesus, in the course of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew the 16th chapter and verse 18, said, "Up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then, my friend, after his death on the cross, when he died in order to have the authority that he has today, I believe that Hebrews tell us, "And though he was a son, yet learn your obedience by the things which he suffered. And therefore being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who would obey him." You say, "Well, Nash, how did he do it?" He went to the cross and he tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2:9, the Bible tells us in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, when Christ came from the dead, told his disciples that all power in heaven and earth have been given me. Go ye therefore and you teach all nations. Therefore teach them and you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, my friend, when we do what God said to do, what Christ commanded to do, we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. So on the first Pentecost, of the first 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, it was that in the city of Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Bible said it sat upon each of them, clothed tongues like as a fire, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews devout men out of every nation under heaven, and they came together and was confounded because they heard every man speaking in his own language where he was born. It was about 15 different races or nationalities that were there that day. And you know, when they was accused of being drunk, old Simon the Sack of the Smith, "These are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that it should come to pass, that therefore put out by the prophet Joel, rather, that your old men shall see vision, and your young men shall dream, and you're going to pour out of the Spirit upon their handmaids and daughters." Peter said that this is what it is. And you know, about 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. 50 years later, the Gentiles came in
to that church of that called out ecclesia. And so the church of them was established, and all nations, both Jews and Gentiles, was in that. And this over here, where I ceased to be. But the problem is, after the church of our Lord was established 33 A.D. of our Lord, about 606 A.D., something came up that they're calling the Catholic Church now. And it was first Pope was a man by the name of Benedict Bailey. And you know what thing? They cannot rattle that chain farther than this day. And I tell you, as far as Catholicism is concerned. And when they came out here, therefore, they began to steal. And they have thieves. You said, Brother Nash, how do they steal? First of all, when we see anybody come over here for their order of salvation, we'll find a thief every time. This group can steal or have stolen the word reverend. And the most of these out here is all guilty of stealing this one thing that you call reverend. And not only did they steal that, this group, the 606 group, but they also, therefore, tried to steal the priesthood and make priests cut that weight above me, that which God has not ordained. And so you say, Brother Lane, how why do you call it a thief? Let me tell you that if the word reverend is not mentioned in the Bible or written in the Bible, to the best of my knowledge, but one time, and that's in Psalms 111 and verse 9, it says that he sent redemption unto his people. He hath finished his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And that's talking about God. And did you know what name? No one old dusty-eyed man like me or any of the rest of them don't have any business trying to wear God's name. Isaiah 48 say, I'm the Lord, that is my name and my glory will I not give to another. I want you to understand, to try to rob God of his name is stealing. There is not one man that is living today that is worthy to be called him. They didn't call Christ Reverend when he was here, Brother Walter. You haven't heard nobody talk about Reverend Peter and Reverend Paul. They don't say Reverend Jesus. But when they get around to that preacher, they say, hi, Rev. Now that's flattery. That, you know, Job says, he said, Elihu, he said, I know not to give flattery titles unto men, because if I give flattery titles unto men, my maker will soon come and take me away. You say, well, Brother Nash, what does it mean to be flattered? Brother Warner, will you help me out? I want you to go to Psalms 12 too far for me. I'll be there in a little bit. I want to try to make you understand what flattery is. You know, sometimes a young man, he's trying to talk to a young lady, and he's trying to impress her, and he just keep on pushing, telling her how beautiful she is, and how beautiful her eyes are, and that they exceed the glory of the stars and of the moon and the sun, and he just keep on, and after a while he got her chewing on the collar of her blouse, or she's chewing on the pocket handkerchief and doing all this kind of thing. She said, oh, you flatter me now. Well, you know what he said when you say you flatter me? She said, you done started to lie now. That's what she Let me tell you, when somebody look up on a man and call him rap, you are a thief and you started lying. There's not a rapper around. You know, sometimes I go in the barbershop and I know they do it out of goodwill. I'm not angry with them about it because I know that they've been dealing with a thief. And they're handling that stolen good that the thief stole. And they say, well, Reverend so-and-so. I said, now wait just a minute now. Let me try to explain this to you. I'm not Reverend Nash. I'm Lord Nash. You can call me Brother Nash if you want to feel that close to me. Something of that kind. But don't call me Reverend. I'm not Reverend. Oh, I didn't know it. I'll tell you where the verse is. And I'm so glad you told me. I won't do that anymore. And when I get ready to go, brushing the hair from me, I used to brush it off, but you brush it off now.
And they say, well, sure thing, you Ralph, come back. That it done gone that quick. It's just installed it. They have stolen it, they have bought it, and the cause was sold to it. But that's flattering, and I'm telling you that the God of heaven is going to punish those who are doing that kind of thing. The preachers stole it, and you are having it, selling it to somebody else. In Psalm 12 and verse 2. Let's see what did the Bible say.
They speak vanity.
Everyone with his neighbor.
With flattering lips.
With what kind of lips?
Flattering lips.
With flattering lips they do it. All right, come on.
And with a double heart.
And with a double heart.
Do they speak?
Come on.
The Lord shall cut off.
The Lord. Not like that. He said the Lord.
Shall cut off all flattering
lips. The Lord is going to cut off what?
All flattering lips.
You keep on calling them Reverend if you want to. You keep on calling them Doctor if you want to. He's going to get your lips. Now in the church of Christ, we don't call out the preacher Reverend. I don't know, you know, somebody might be teasing me sometimes. But I'm talking about sincerely. They just don't do that. But I tell you what they will. Say they go to school and get a little education and get a few ABCs. And the first thing you know, they say, Doctor. Come on, Doctor. Preacher can't say nothing. Come on, Doctor. He's going to get you too. That's flattering. And let me tell you, you may be doctor of a whole lot of things, but you're not doctor of this. There is no doctor as far as I'm concerned. I don't believe anybody knows everything about the Bible. Now, we know enough about it to be saved. We can do that. I'd go that far. But somebody asked me something. I was up somewhere preaching. I don't forgot where it was now. And then he said, Brother Nash, have you ever read the whole Bible? I said, no. How long have you been preaching? I told him. And you still haven't read the whole Bible? I said, no. They said, why? I said, because of some words in the Bible I can't pronounce. That's why. Read the whole Bible. That's right. Doesn't that make sense? I try to stay where I can stay on what I got. He said that the Lord is going to cut off all flattering lips. All right, come on.
And the tongue that speaketh proud things.
And you know, now they cut it short a lot of time. When the preacher go by, they say, ha, ripped. I remember one time I was in Memphis, Tennessee. Brother Baskerville and I were trying to get a lady to go worship with us while I was there to meet him. And we were talking to her. She said, well, I got to go to the pastor's anniversary tonight. And said, the Reverend so-and-so is having his anniversary. And I said, what did you say? She said, the most honorable Reverend. That's where she thinks it. That's proud, isn't that right? But the Bible says that God is going to cut off all flattering lips, all that handling good, stolen good, that thief, and all that handling stealing stolen good, all that's going to have your lips cut off, and there'll be no more lipstick in there. You'll cut it out. I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, you got to recognize, and I got to recognize, that only Jehovah is right. And the quicker the better. And just, I don't know of anything that is a whole lot. You know, if you put them all up here, there wouldn't be no room in there, right? We could fill this whole thing here with things that they call the church of the day, and all of them came down out of this. And then out of that, here come another one. Popping up here by Martin Luther, called the Lutheran Church, 1520 A.D. And you know he was a closet fellow. Not only did he jump over here and grab Reverend, but he done just like these did. Just like the mother of them did. They grabbed Reverend and they jumped up and come out with mechanical instruments of music. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, those who say, well, didn't David have music? Didn't they have music back? You know they have music! You got the instrumental music, I mean. You got to come back here. You got to be a thief to have it. You got to go beyond the cross. And I told you last evening, and 1 Colossians 2:12 said, that he blotted out the handwritings of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. And the Bible said that he nailed it to his cross. Therefore, to have to go back here and try to get a form of worship, it means that one got to be a thief in order to operate from back there. And just as you should, as you go back there and steal the word of God, I know then that a thief is not going to have no place in God's eternal kingdom. And so these over here, by Martin Luther, jumped up on that. And you know he was tangled up on something else. He's one of these fellows came up and said, well, you're saved at the moment that you believe.
And he got all tangled up on that. And you know why? Because he was a thief in the first place. Let me tell you something. Mechanical instruments of music does not have a place in the church of our Lord. In the New Testament, there is not one passage where the priest and the element and Mary played the piano while somebody else beat on the tambourine. Not one. You say, well, Brother Nash, how do you know? Because I know they would have told us about it. God tells us what he wants us to do. That's the reason why I know. Mechanical instruments of music were not of you. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. I think it is. And we'll start up with verse 16. Now, I want you to see this now. You say, well, Brother Nash, mechanical instrumental music, what do you see wrong with it? I don't see nothing wrong with it. But I do recognize this, that I'm going to have to do what God commanded me to do, like God commanded me to do. I'm going to have to carry on. And all of us, let Christ tell us to carry on. In Colossians 3:16, what did the Bible say?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom.
In all wisdom.
Teaching and admonishing.
Teaching and admonishing one another.
In Psalms.
Watch what he said now. He said, teaching and admonishing one another in songs
and hymns
and in hymns. Whatever he said.
Spiritual songs.
And spiritual songs. You know, I like that down there. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs. You know what they, when you point out spiritual songs, they're knocked out all of kind of songs. It keep me from singing. What makes you do me like you do? And it keep you from saying you pick the fine time to leave me, Lucy. I know the enemy is understand over here. That he said, speak to yourself out in songs. And what else did he say?
And hymns. And spiritual.
And spiritual songs. Doing what?
Singing. With grace.
With praise.
In your heart.
In your heart to the Lord. So then, my friend, when you get mechanical instrumental music, when you see that going on in a morning, you can rest assured that Christ didn't ordain it. And the only reason why somebody's doing it is because they're a thief and went back over here and tried to steal it from behind the cross. And let me tell you something, baby. It might take a special service to me to prove it. But that came under the law when they had mechanical instrumental music. I never will believe, unless the Bible starts reading different, that when they played that music, that it was in the sanctuary. Either place. Now, if you think I'm joking now, to give you an even start with me, in case you want to tackle me on this, you first read Hebrews 9. And then, after you read that, if you still want to go around, we'll go. I don't want to take the advantage of anybody. But I'm saying this, that the type of the church were not where the mechanical music went on. But granting you that they had it back there, if you go back there after it, you got to be a thief. And how do you think that you're going to be able to make it into heaven where Christ is as a thief? You were blessed, Nash, I'm not the one that started, but you're handling the goods. You know, some people, boys broke in our home one night and stole that stuff. And the police caught up with them. Some of the stuff we got back, some of them we didn't. But you know one thing? They got them. And this old lady had bought a television. They sold them our television for $100. And you know what the authorities done? They went out there and taken that television away from her, brought it back over there, and the old lady was on welfare, whatever you want to call it, and she was half cracked up. Yeah, I'll give $100. And the police just walking right on. They were talking about her giving $100. She was handling stolen goods. They taking away from her. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that you cannot go behind the law and within it as any of these denominational people up here go back there and come out and have eternal salvation, because Christ has made the difference, and Christ in the authority in the church. You know a thing coming all the way from Matthew 26:30. The Bible said that they sang a hymn and they went out into the mountain valley. You know it can say that they played one or plucked one just as well. Christ had brought his disciples together, and there the institution of the seven was made. When the seven was made, therefore, when it was all over, they sang a hymn and went out into the mountain of Olives. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you see again in Romans 15:9, when Paul was talking about a praising of the Gentiles, and said they were saying unto his name. We just got through reading Colossians 2:3-17. Well, it was to be done, hymns and songs and spiritual songs. Therefore, it was to be done in his name. So we can understand that Paul pointed out in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, said, speak to yourselves in songs and in hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, the melody must be made in the heart and not on a piano or a mechanical instrument. But another passage jumped in my mind, better one I'd like to see. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. I want to show you something. You said, Brother Nash, how do you know that that's talking about the church? I'm going to show you how I know that you talk about the church, that the church ought to sing. And therefore, to go beyond that would be to break the law. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, what did the Bible say?
I will declare thy name unto my brethren.
Thy name unto my brethren.
In the midst of
in
the
midst of what?
The church.
In the midst of the church.
Will I sing praise?
Will I do what?
Sing praise.
I will pray praise.
No.
Proclaim.
No.
Blow.
No.
Shame them. All right then, Teddy. He said, in the midst of the church, I will sing praises of his name. If he don't want you to plot, he would have told you to plot. You know, the Bible's right. Bible's right. You said, Brother Nash, you're cruel. No. I'm just trying to tell you. No, don't need to get upset about. You know that the mailman come to my house, by my house, just about every day, bring something. So what you call a junk mail. But at the end of the month, he comes. And you know all he does? He brings those bills that I made. And when I start opening them, I go to look at it. I say, honey, when did you? And she said, well,
yeah.
You know? But I don't ever get angry with the mailman. He just brought what was in the thing. Isn't that right? He went out to the post office. It was in there. And I'm on his mail in there. He just got it and brought it over there and put it in the box. Now, if I don't lack what's in the box, pay up and shut up, you know, and I'm going to have no trouble. Isn't that right? Now, let me run out to the mailman. Don't you bring me no more of them done. Don't you bring me. What that be saying? Don't you bring me them. Don't you tell me that I'm in debt. You know, I tell them a lot of times, whenever I die, I've tried for years to get out of debt. For the first 25 years or so of my adult life, I tried my best to get out of debt. And I see the more I try, the further in I said, well, I can't get out. I just have to when I die, a whole lot of people be crying. They think they're in love with me. They think about something else. Think about it. You saying, Lord, save me.
Come on.
Save me, Lord. I'm telling you that mechanical instruments of music were not carried on in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And all the reason why that these fellows over here in here are all of them that had it, that's because they own the Stephen side. That's the reason why. Then we come on down here, we get out here to the Episcopalian church. Henry the Eighth. And you know, Henry the Eighth, he was kind of what you call a stepjack. He got the marrying going on. He got married to Catholic people up here, and he pulled out and started his own movement over in England, I think where it was. And Catherine of Bagoa, he married her, and then another one came along named Annie Wood. But all right, then. And he loved her more, isn't that right? And history said he had to kill. He had one of them killed. Where he could get the other one? He was just woman crazy. And a lot of the black folks, they're not so much that way now. But before James Brown come out a few years ago singing with black and proud and all that kind of stuff, but I can remember when they used to have the Presbyterian, out of the Presbyterian church. This is the reason why they have Methodist church, really. Because out of the Presbyterian church, the Episcopal, when you see CME, it's talking about colored Methodist, Episcopal, and all that kind of stuff. AME is talking about African Methodist. Yeah, that's what they were talking about. They call some of them preachers now. But out of the Episcopal church over here, they had what they call a blue vein church. They did. It wasn't many of them, but it was some. One was on 9th Street in Fort Smith, Arkansas. That one over in Clarkville, Texas. And what they call a blue vein church. Now, they said they believe it's Christian in all churches. Maybe they might believe it. But this blue vein church, what it was, it was only among black folks. But it was a light-skinned black people. The one that they say to come in there, you had to be able to see the blue blood here or there. You know, you have to check out the blue blood. I'm telling you what's right. And you know how some of our family, some of them is light, some of them is dark, and some of them could go and some of them couldn't go. I know a sister in Shreveport that her mother couldn't go. And the old preacher needed the money so bad, he'd come out there on Sunday evening and preach to them. And where daddy would pay him, because his daddy, you know, he could go up there, they couldn't go. They called it the blue bed. And let me tell you something. And I know that some of them feel that way. I had a young fellow that was helping me in the preaching and business, and he was mighty. He told me one day, I had been talking about this. He said, "Brother Nash," he said, our blood is not like yours. Our blood is blue until it comes out when the air hit. He said, I said, "Son, let me tell you something." I said, "I was raised on the farm. I seen chickens. I seen chicken. You know, we killed chicken. We killed hogs. I seen cows. And we had some weeds out there we called blood weed. And everything I seen come out of it, all of them red." Now, I said, "I don't care about this foolishness you're talking about." He said, "But I'm going to say this now. None of your blood is blue. If your blood turned blue, you better hurry up and do something. You better do it. Blood ain't blue." I want you to understand, but this was, and out of that, came this. And it was because these over here felt like they wanted to get the fast shake over there, so they started their own. And after the color fed in the eight, I think the African Methodist started playing out first. I'm not sure about that, but believe it was. And when they first started that thing and called the African Methodist, nothing of the Caucasian race could wish it. They couldn't come there. And I know, we just got through telling you and quoted to you that the Church of Christ was for all nations. The color of the skin was never a problem with God. Man made that thing of themselves. Isn't that right? We don't want to make that up. We don't want to decide what color skin is, or whether a face is pretty or not, if you're pretty enough. All that is something that came down from the thief. And God had nothing to do with it. Therefore, then my friend in 1607 up off the Baptist church, yeah, by John Smith, I believe it was, over there, and he started that thing, and he believed. Now, you're talking about somebody lay on this, and on this, he lays on. But we have another group that sometime among us that called the Church of God in Christ. And it's sometimes called the First Assembly of God. Now, these are Dayton people. Ain't hit the floor in a minute. And they said, "Well, David danced. David, I know David danced, but what David wasn't dancing in the Church of Christ, I guarantee you. David lived and died before the Church of Christ was ever established. Listen, what about Psalms 150? Well, sure, I know about Psalms 150, but Psalms 150 was a long time before Christ came into this world. Had nothing to do with the church. So then, let me tell you something. If you cut a step, just say you cut a step and say you got it from over here, from the thief side, because Christ has never ordained a child of God to dance. I can remember one of the elders out in Members of the Church of Christ out in West Texas where I used to preach, and they were supporting me. And he told me one day, he said, "Brother Nash," he said, "I don't think dancing is wrong as long as there's but one person dancing." He said, "What makes people dancing wrong is because two people, you know, coo up." He said, "I think if you stay out of that, it's all right." I said, "Well, I want to know what went wrong then when Harry Rose's daughter was dancing. Who was dancing with?" Well, nobody damn with her. No, Harold got to look at him, he had lost control of everything. Almost all he was giving the kingdom away, didn't it? Got John the Baptist killed. Don't you tell me. If you hit a step, you just done hit one. That's all. And then they said, "Well, all right, then, sometimes you got, I would come, but I got to go to my choir practice. I got to sing in the choir." You know what? The choir, the Webster said that the choir is a part of the church that says, sitting or positioned where the choir sits. That is, the choir is an entertainment point. And Solomon had a choir. I'll admit that Solomon had a choir. I know that. But when you have a choir, you've got to steal. In Ecclesiastic 5, 2nd chapter, verse 8, I want you to see this. I'm going to show you now. Solomon had one. If it didn't, it smells so much like it, I have to say that's what it is. But I'll tell you one thing about it. You and I, over here, when we go over and try to have a choir, we in the stealing business. And God is not going to let you get by as a thief. All right. Ecclesiastes 2:8. Watch what he says.
I gather me also silver and gold.
Now, Solomon said, I gather me also silver and I gather me gold.
And
he said, peculiar treasures
of kings. All right.
All right. Now watch this now.
I got me men singers.
He said, I got me some men singers.
And women singers.
Ain't that what a choir is? I got me some men singers and I got me some women singers. So that's choir. These are the ones that entertain. So then, since what's to say that a choir is a group that sings? Where in the church? Then that knocked out group singing too. Now, among the churches of Christ, what has popped up in these last 20 or so years, particularly among the black Christians, is group singing. And they stole that from the same place these other people stole that. Group singing. And you can't talk to them about it. When they get mad at these people over here. I try to tell them all the time. Christ commanded all of us to sing. And not just one group. In worship, I mean. Not just one group singing and entertaining another. And I hear them sometimes, they'd be singing, and they'd be patting on their eyes. I said, what is whoopty boopty boopty? What is that? And the preacher said that same children, come on, sister. And you wrong. That's liberalism. That's going beyond the word of God. No need you telling that the Baptists and the Methodists and wherever there that they cannot have mechanicalism in the music when you done jumped out here and came up with a group that never was ordained by the Lord. Some of them jump over and say, well, Paul and Silas sing. Well, Paul and Silas was the whole church. That was all that was in jail there. That's preaching Paul and Silas. Isn't that right? Can't get no duet. They want to do it. And quartet. I'll tell you what, long time ago when it first started, I was in church when all this stuff didn't go on. You see, that's me why I know when you, not only by reading the Bible, but I know when it didn't get on. And when it first started, well, somebody come up and say, well, we're going to sing a few selections. I'd say. And they sang a selection too, and we'd go on. Okay, nobody couldn't kick that, but after a while it got so good, they said, I think we need to sing, we need to have a special, get together where we can do this, and then it just kept on, and now it has gotten some attraction of that. I can remember when we used to have all-day service, used to preach 2 and 3 weeks at a time, and have all-day service during that time, and did you not know, then somebody might sing one or two songs, and all the rest of it just preach, but they knew that preaching out, and they hooped up in there. That's what's going on. And that's why. And even when you had to get it from Solomon, because Christ didn't introduce that kind of thought. And you just keep it up. Now, you're going to be in the same shape. Don't you can't tell me what God knows. I came with the Lord because I remember when we get to the judgment, you're going to be facing Lord Nash, and I won't be facing you. We're going to be facing the Master, and going to be facing the Word. In John 12:48, the Bible says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word has won the judgment. These words I speak unto you shall judge in the last day. I want you to know that when you and I come to the judgment, and that's what all men everywhere, it's not going to be what I say, but it's going to be what the Word of God says, and it's not going to be something foreign to you that you be judged by. The very thing that's in your book, that's in my book, these are the words that we're going to meet again.
That's right.
And you're talking about the choir. And when they kept on building and they started wearing robes, uniforms. And then they started to have what I call the little majorette. She had a little dress different from the rest of them. And she'd be standing out in front of them. Yeah. Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach you. I use them
authority over man. And they don't pay no attention anymore. And that's what all these do. They don't pay any attention either. You know why? Because they're coming through a stealing thing. And the Lord said, I therefore the jailer out of this the prophet that stole my land and said, I said. Amen. How come y'all are changed? Y'all know what I was over here a while ago? Let me tell you about a little bit more about these fellas here. They stole, and they're thieves, and you know what? They hang around. They just bump in and out on the Sabbath. But this fellow way down here, now he is what you call a Sabbath lover. But I showed you on last night, and I'm going to show you. You know, they're trying to make out that the Ten Commandments or the covenant that God made with Israel back there, they try to make out that all of it left but the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments was one that was in the covenant. And they try to make out that God's people have always kept the Sabbath. But I want to show you that God's people haven't always kept the Sabbath. And the reason why that they are after that is because they are thieves. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 2. I want to show you something here about this. God still, as I showed you last evening, when he dealt with the Sabbath, he dealt with this Jewish church. And you said, Brother Nash, can you find anything wrong with the Ten Commandments? No, sir. And no, ma'am. But I'll tell you who did. God found fault with them. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7, the Bible said if the first covenant had been faultless, he wouldn't have sought a place for the second. And finding fault with them, he said, a new covenant I will make with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. Now, God found something fault. He said, finding fault with them. It was something wrong. He changed, not only did he change the law, but he changed the priesthood. In the Hebrews, the 7th chapter, and I think, if I remember Samuel well, in verse 20. Now, here's what he said. He said, the law being changed, there was a necessity of a change in the law. So the priesthood being changed, rather, there's necessity for a change in the law. And I tell you, the law changed. Why? Because twice came out of the tribe of Judah, which Moses spoke nothing pertaining priesthood. And this is the reason why we have a brand new system under God. All right, now where's the passage? What did he say? Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 2.
What's the Lord our God.
The Lord, now, this is Moses talking. The Lord our God
made a covenant with us. Made,
I want you to see this. A covenant with us. That means those that was right there then. Us. All right, come on.
The Lord made not
this covenant
with our father, but with us.
Now he said they didn't do it with the daddies. The Lord, our God, made a covenant with us. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers. But who?
But with us.
With us.
Even us.
Even us.
Who are all.
What?
Of us here alive this day.
All of us who are alive here this day. That's who God made a covenant with. The covenant then consisted of Ten Commandments. The Sabbath was one of the laws in that Ten Commandments, and every one of them was administrated and power and authority by death. They could kill you for breaking any of them. And I mean, you come telling me now, anytime you're going to deal with this back here, you're going to knock yourself out, because this didn't ever mean nothing to you anyway. I can't understand a Gentile preacher talking about keeping the Sabbath day. you wiped yourself plumb out. But as a thief, you know what a thief is grabbing? He just grab everything. Ten Commandments gone, baby. The Sabbath and all the rest of it. And I thank for the God that we have salvation in Christ. Then these down here, I got the church to lead just a little. What do we call Jehovah's Witnesses? They are thieves. They try to steal God's name.
They tried to make out like they were. Did you know they one minute to be here on we talking about? I said, where'd you get your name, brother? Jump down. Isaiah. 43:10. I said, what's Isaiah? I said, you're going to go ahead and go to Isaiah 43:10. You don't need to go over there. I want to show you. I said, all right, go ahead. You want to show me? She got over there. Ye are my witnesses, said the Lord. I said, look at that word, witness. I said, does it start with the capital W? Or does it start with a little bitty? And you know what it started with? A little bitty. And so it's not a name. Isn't that right? Therefore, that if it was, it wouldn't belong. They back here trying to steal something that wasn't even about them. The children of Israel, God always referred to them as what they were. Therefore, they never were Jehovah Witnesses as a name, but rather by the mighty hand of God and the things he done when he led them about in the land of Egypt. And then Christ came. Oh, I see David, I mean Moses. In Genesis 49:10, when Moses said that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, the Lord give him between his feet until Shiloh come, and under him shall the gathering of the people be. You know it was in Jerusalem. They had Christ out there in the land of Carry, out there on that old mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, after they beat him and laid him up there, and had two thieves out there with him, it was out here that Christ died. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:3, according to the scripture, that he died according to the scripture, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And you know, a lot of times people will say, Brother Nash, what about the thief? How well about the thief when we have our Lord and Savior hanging up there. A man, ladies and gentlemen, that cried out to God while the punishment was coming up on his body and said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And somebody wanted to turn to a thief rather than for him who the soldiers took a spear and an apple pierced his side. John 19 tell us about 32, so they break one of the thieves' legs and they went around on the other side and they break the other thief's leg. But when they came to Christ, they said that he was already dead. And a soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. I want you to know that the blood thou for was for the redeeming of man and water to wash men's sins away. Acts 22:16, Paul said, when Ananias came to him, he said, Brother Saul, arise and be baptized and wash thy sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. Can't you see here, ladies and gentlemen, that God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, prepared a way for you and me to have eternal life. And this is the thing that God that made that promise to Abraham in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, by my faith, going back to the 12th chapter, when God told Abraham to get out from among his kindred, and he was going to bless him, and through him all the family of the earth was going to be blessed. This is what Christ is about. And I want you to know that the law, which was 430 years before God made that promise, after God made that promise, could not disannul that the promise would be not effect. This is what Paul is saying over there in the book of Galatians 3 and Galatians 3:21. Paul said again, he said, if that had been a law given that could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law, but it just couldn't do it. Therefore, these people over here is trying to steal and bring the tithes up on you over here and trying to make you pay the tithe. Didn't get to work that over like I was intending to, but time's not going to let me do it tonight. So we can understand here, to come to Christ, you have to hear the gospel and therefore have faith in it, believe with all of your heart. I tell you, my friend, it is necessary for one to believe that the man who died of Gunner almost 2,000 years ago on that cross, that he died there not because of his own sin, but because of your sin and mine, and all to bring reconciliation between us and our God Almighty. And you know one thing? Paul declared that in him he had the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, when faith is produced in Jesus Christ by the word of God, since the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then we got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to have to repent of our sin. And I know that repentance is an essential to salvation. You know why? Because only in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when Peter was talking to those Jews there that was guilty of the blood of your Lord and mine, he told them to repent and be baptized. Every one of you. That's the reason why I know that repentance, therefore, is an essential salvation. That's the reason why I know that baptism is an essential to salvation, because he said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, they had asked you what to do to be saved. Repent, and that's a coordinated conjunction. Therefore, if it's important, if it's essential to repent, it's an essential that one have to be baptized for the remission of sin. So when one confesses Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When that is done, and one is baptized for the remission of his sin, God adds him to the church. Started in AD 33 by your Lord and mine. I wonder tonight, are you willing to give up that deep side? To know that if you die in your sin, Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. I don't think anybody thinks that they can make it to heaven as being a thief. One went out here tonight and stole something and put him in jail. If he was guilty, we would sell him to jail and say, such a punishment ought to be done. But those who were behind the cross went back with past that which Christ had abolished in his blood and taken that for a way of life. I want you to know that tonight that you stand condemned in the sight of God. You're causing thousands of people to fall to the same thing. I'll tell you that will be the future. I can understand why my master said, now is the way that leads to life, but a few be there to find me. You know why? Because there's just a few people, despite what the word of God says, will give over and accept me. But I hope tonight that there's someone here that will denounce your stubborn will and harden not your heart that he's in the provocation of the word and walk out and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and go down in baptism that you might be born again. The Bible says that was a man of the Pharisee whose name was Nicodemus, the ruler of Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art Jesus that comes from God, but no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said, well, I said to you, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus just said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he can enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't do it, ladies and gentlemen. Will you make that decision tonight? And together stand. Say this.